Hello everyone, and welcome to the ACTIV podcast, a bi-weekly program dedicated to bringing you closer to the difference makers in CDI and to sharing the latest news relevant to the CDI profession and ACTIV. My name is Rebecca Hindren, and I'm the director of ACTIV, and I am your host for today's program. And today's guest is Kelly Rice, MSHI, BSN, RN, CCDS, CDIP, CCS, CRC, and she's going to be talking with us about sepsis. Everybody's favorite topic is sepsis. And Kelly is a brand new CDI education specialist with HC Pro and ACTIV, and I could not be more excited to have her as our guest on the podcast today, but also have her join our team of educators. She's going to be an absolutely wonderful addition to the group, and we're really thrilled to have her here. In this role as an ACTIV educator, she serves as a full-time instructor for our HC Pro boot camps that are CDI related and the Propel CDI services. She also serves as a subject matter expert for ACTIV. And here's a bit of background information about Kelly. She's an RN in the state of Maine, and she's got a diverse clinical background, everything from trauma and surgical ICU to occupational health. She's previously traveled all over the country as a travel RN, and she has obtained a bunch of specialty certifications, as you could gather from all the letters that I read out after her name. She's got the CCDS, she's got the CDIP, and various other very cool credentials. She's recently been serving on the ACTIV Resource Library Committee, but prior to her role with HC Pro, Kelly served in an inpatient CDI leadership position for enterprise provider education at a large healthcare organization. In this role, she was responsible for both the creation of educational content and curricula, as well as the delivery of that education to new and current inpatient providers, including graduate medical education and medical school programs. She's also worked closely with the department's physician advisors to identify educational gaps and worked proactively to prevent payment denials prior to discharge. She also participated in quality improvement projects and served on multiple committees, including mortality, patient safety indicators, etc. So Kelly has wonderful experience that is already so helpful to have her on the ACTIV team. But before I get to our topic of sepsis, I wanted to give you a quick update. In response to ACTIV member feedback, we have updated our CEU period for listeners who want to claim the 0.5 ACTIV CEUs we offer for each episode. So based on listener feedback you asked and we answered, we are giving you slightly more time to obtain those CEUs if you want to take the weekend to catch up on the ACTIV podcast. And we know a lot of you do like to listen to the ACTIV podcast at the weekend. It is a great accompaniment to those errands that you have to do. Maybe you're listening to us in the car right now. We began with the July 16th episode, and it is going to be for every episode from then on out. You now have until 11 p.m. Eastern on the Sunday following an episode's release to claim your credits, which is 2 full days more than previously when the CEU cutoff had been Friday night. As a reminder, these 0.5 ACTIV CEUs can be used toward recertifying your CCDS or your CCDSO credential, so you can use it for both. And as usual, I will give you the instructions for how to claim your credit at the end of today's show, so stay tuned for that. Before we jump into our topic, a brief word about today's sponsor.
Today's episode is sponsored by ACTIV Encore. So join us Tuesday, August 12th through Thursday, August 14th for ACTIV Encore Clinical Encoding Online, a special virtual event featuring sessions recorded live during the 2025 ACTIV Conference, which is the entire clinical encoding track and an additional session from the conference. This much-loved staple features core clinical encoding components vital to those engaged in ongoing medical record reviews. Seek inspiration from powerful, thought-provoking, and must-attend sessions, such as a systematic approach to finding CDI query opportunities, optimize sepsis documentation for accurate quality revenue and patient outcomes. Acute skin failure, our largest organ fails too. Illuminating social determinants of health, a call for better outcomes, and more. Plus, our 10 CEUs from Actis and Nari and 9.5 CEUs from Ahima. Join us to recharge your soul and revive your passion for the profession at Actis Encore Clinical and Coding Online.
Now, before I get into the conversation with Kelly part of this, I wanted to share some information about sepsis resources from Actis. And year after year, sepsis is one of the most common problem diagnoses for the CDI profession when it comes to missed opportunities and common denials. And let's not overlook the fact that it is, of course, a deadly diagnosis for patients. So in our most recent CDI Week industry survey, which was the 2024 one just last September, more than 85% of respondents said that sepsis is one of their top five denied diagnoses. So we wanted to let you know about some of the information that we have published. So we published a lot of major news that included sepsis, including a first quarter of 2024 coding clinic update. That's pretty interesting. Information about new pediatric sepsis criteria that was created through a cohort study. If you would like to take a look at those and read them for yourself, you can find a link to all this information in the show notes. We have a helpful page about the sepsis roundup information. So we're going to link you to that page. And there you can find the links for all of these articles that you may want to actually just check out yourself and read them in their entirety. We also have published a bunch of webinars and Q&As over the last year. So we've linked to some Q&As, including sequencing sepsis complications in ICD-10-CM, using the Phoenix criteria and clinical criteria guidelines for sepsis. There's also a webinar that is free that covers a lot of topics about the priorities and challenges leaders face with denials management, which includes sepsis denials. And then for Actis members, we have some exclusive education as well. There's some really good articles that we have linked to. So please do go to this page. We all know sepsis has been a hot topic for many years, and you really do want to make sure that you keep at the forefront of what is going on and what the guidelines are. So we try and make that easier for you, and thus we will link to that page that gives you some information. And that was a lot of information, just trying to make it easy for you to find it. But now I'm going to ask Kelly about sepsis. So thank you so much for joining me today, Kelly. I'm really thrilled to have you here, and I hope you are excited to be here.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm super excited to be here.
So today we decided that we're going to talk about one of the most common things that we talk about in the CDI profession, one of the most common conditions that causes us consternation and confusion, and that is sepsis. So the first thing I wanted to ask you about, Kelly, when we're talking about sepsis, is that we all know it is one of the most frequently denied conditions. So could you talk a little bit about why exactly this does get denied so often?
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. So sepsis is the number one denied condition, I think, at the majority of organizations. And many of these denials occur because there's a mismatch between what the organization or the provider is using for the criteria for sepsis versus what the payers are using. Many organizations are using sepsis 2 criteria, and many of the payers are using sepsis 3 criteria, which is harder criteria to meet. It requires that acute organ dysfunction component. It gets us into the severe sepsis category. We're also going to see a higher rate of denials for sepsis admissions for less than 3-day hospital stays. Those short stays are highly scrutinized by the payers and are going to be targeted. you're more likely to see denials in DRG 872, which is sepsis without an MCC, versus DRG 871. So you always want to try to get into DRG 871 and have an MCC. But we're also seeing an increase in the number of sepsis denials because provider documentation isn't clearly painting a picture of a patient with a systemic illness. So we want to have documentation that is very clear and conveys that systemic illness picture. You want to avoid things like no acute distress, appears comfortable, because the payers are going to look at that and they're going to say, that's incongruent with a septic patient. This is more consistent with a patient with a localized infection.
Interesting. So what should CDI professionals look for when they're reviewing a chart where a patient has sepsis? And can you talk a little bit more about clinical indicators?
Yeah, great question. So CDI professionals should first validate that the criteria is there. They want to look to see, is there an infectious source? Because without a source, we don't have sepsis, right? Or at least the documentation needs to convey that there's a strong suspicion of a source to confirm that the patient has sepsis. Next, they need to verify that the patient has at least two SIRS, and that SIRS cannot be easily explained by another coexisting cause, like hypovolemia or acute pain. When I was reviewing cases, I would always calculate that SOFA score up front, looking for clinical indicators that help support the presence of acute organ dysfunction to try to get into that sepsis 3 category, their severe sepsis, and obviously looking for any evidence of septic shock. That's going to make the case much more denial proof. And then lastly, I would look for descriptors like ill-appearing, toxic-appearing, diaphoretic, are they mottled, lethargic, obtunded, and weak? And sometimes you can find this information in unlikely places, like nursing notes, ancillary notes. The EMS report can be a great source to find these descriptors.
That's very interesting, Kelly. So then what do you recommend CDI professionals query for?
So I recommend when they're querying to link the infection to the sepsis. They want to identify what that infectious source is. And then anytime you can get into a severe sepsis category with that acute organ dysfunction, you want to try to go for that if the evidence is there. And then if there's any support for septic shock, that's definitely going to put us in a stronger DRG and is going to make it less likely to be denied. It's important that if you are introducing sepsis after the first day, that you also include whether that sepsis was present on admission. Sometimes it's unclear when it's introduced later on in the stay, whether it was sepsis that evolved during the hospital stay, or perhaps maybe it just took a day or two to arrive at the diagnosis.
Absolutely. We know that a lot of organizations are looking to do system-wide definitions for many conditions, of which one of them is sepsis. So what role do you think system-wide definitions can play, and how could they help organizations?
Developing organizationally based definitions or guidelines for problematic or high-risk diagnosis like sepsis can really assist with the process of clinical validation. So the purpose of these system-wide definitions is not to limit how a diagnosis can be defined, but rather to promote consistency among the CDI specialists in determining whether the minimum threshold of support is present within the health record. And it helps them when making a decision on whether they need to issue a clinical validation query. Can also be used as a teaching tool for the medical and the ancillary staff in promoting that consistency to all who are documenting in the record. If an order set and a template isn't being utilized, perhaps there's an opportunity for CDI to pilot an audit.
So Kelly, my final question about sepsis is about educating and engaging providers related to documentation. So what, how would you recommend both educating and engaging providers?
Yeah, there's a lot we can do with providing education to providers on the topic of sepsis. It's important that providers first and foremost know which definition of sepsis their organization is using. If they're using sepsis 3 criteria, it's really important that they're documenting that acute organ dysfunction and that it's clearly linked to the sepsis. So for example, you want to make sure that you're linking that AKI, that acute kidney injury, to the sepsis, not to the underlying infection like the UTI. It's going to show that there's a systemic response to that infection. Want to make sure that you're using diagnostic terms like metabolic encephalopathy rather than saying altered mental status and stating acute respiratory failure rather than hypoxia to really demonstrate and show the presence of acute organ dysfunction and to get you into that severe sepsis or sepsis 3 criteria. We also want to remember to use appropriate terminology to link that acute organ dysfunction, terms like due to, caused by, and really avoid terms like in the setting of, which will not allow us to link that acute organ dysfunction to the sepsis. Providers want to be very descriptive when describing what they're seeing at the bedside. So payers are looking for descriptors that convey a serious systemic illness. So they want to use terms like ill-appearing, toxic-appearing, mottled, pale, diaphoretic. Be very clear what they're seeing at the bedside. We really should have a very vivid picture of what they're seeing when they look at the patient. They want to be very cautious about documenting things like no acute distress. Patient appears comfortable because payers are going to look at that and say that's incongruent with a septic picture. And perhaps that patient appears comfortable because they're obtunded or they're unresponsive. And just being aware of how that looks to payers when they are reviewing these records. They want to avoid using pre-populated exam findings or copying forward their notes from a previous day. The payers are using natural language processing, looking for these things to try to deny some of these conditions. The providers want to make sure that they're using the correct terminology for accurate coding. So they should eliminate terms from their documentation that don't have a corresponding ICD-10 code. So terms like sepsis syndrome or urosepsis. And then anytime a provider is introducing the diagnosis of sepsis after the first day, they should also indicate whether that condition was present on admission or whether it evolved during the hospital stay. It's important to indicate if there is an association with a device like an indwelling catheter and if it's a potential complication of a procedure.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much. This was really useful and interesting information, Kelly. I'm so glad you could join me to talk for a little bit about sepsis.
Thank you. I'm so glad that I could be here to talk about sepsis. It's one of my favorite topics.
Thank you so much, Kelly. Such great information about this tricky topic. And as always, if our audience has any questions, you can feel free to email us at info@actis.org. We'll put that email in today's show notes, which are available on the show page at actis.org, as well as in your podcast app. So you can grab them from there, as well as all the links in that article on that page that I was referencing. And now it's time for something completely different, the ACTIS Update, which is our segment featuring the latest news on what is going on inside the association. Hard to believe, but we are nearing the topic deadline for the September-October journal. So while we may feel like we're still in the middle of summer, that full featured journal is just around the corner. And do you have something to say? Have you been meaning to write an article? We would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear about any program you might have started, any new and interesting things that you're doing at your organization. We'd love to have a deep dive into any topic that you think is interesting. So if you have an article to submit, we make it really easy. There's actually a link to submit articles on the CDI Journal page, or you can find it in today's episode's show notes, and that's how you can send us your article. But of course, if you have any questions about articles or you just want to get a few more tips, don't hesitate. Reach out to us, info@actis.org, to ask the team your questions. And we always recommend people use the info@actis.org email address. It's even more helpful than going to one of us individually because that goes to the whole team. We will be sure to funnel that question to the correct team member to make sure you get the right answer to your question when you need it. The next thing I wanted to talk about today is the ACTIS Leadership Council. Have you ever wanted to be part of the ACTIS Leadership Council? This is a one-of-a-kind council, and it is now open for applications from leaders, managers, and anyone with supervisory responsibilities. I do caution before you decide to apply, it really is best practice. Do go ahead and review the complete ACTIS Leadership Council application details to ensure you meet the experience and participation requirements. We do have a bunch of requirements for that, and there are some participation regulations. So just go ahead and give that a read. Make sure that you are eligible to apply. Make sure that you're willing to do everything that we ask to be a part of it. And if that just sounds so great to you, go ahead and put your application in. The Leadership Council offers members research insights. It's really valuable for virtual networking. There are mentorship opportunities, and perhaps the most useful is the bi-monthly member exclusive calls. I know I learn so much from the ACTIS Leadership Council, and I know those who are a part of it find it incredibly rewarding. So if that is something you've wanted to be a part of, please do check it out. We only open the applications for that once per year. So now is the time if that is something you would like to join. Speaking of joining things, do you find it hard to keep up with all the opportunities that occur in the ACTIS community? I know we have a lot. Do you sometimes find yourself disappointed that you missed something you wanted to be a part of? Maybe you had a great idea to present at the next ACTIS conference, but you missed the application period and now you can't submit and you have to wait another year. I know that is really annoying, and there is so much going on in our lives. It is very easy to miss and to not have time to go to the ACTIS website and see what's happening. Maybe you miss a couple of podcasts and suddenly the opportunity that you wanted to be a part of is over. So that is why I heartily recommend you sign up for our free weekly e-newsletter, CDI Strategies. Many of you will be signed up to this already, but you may not realize that this is the best place to stay up to date with everything ACTIS is doing. Because along with the hot off the press news and CDI tips that you'll find at the top part of the newsletter, it's a really great way to stay up to date with what is going on or what ACTIS has on offer. So each week we provide the details in ACTIS updates that are found at the bottom of the newsletter. So just open it each week, you know, give it a quick scan, take a look at the topics, and you can easily find things that appeal to you and make sure you don't miss them. Like the podcast you're listening to now, we link to the new podcast episode in CDI Strategies whenever it comes out. So it's an easy way to get all the links and navigate through the ACTIS website to find the things you want to apply to, something you wanted to read, a survey result that's been published, and things like that. Any questions, please just send us an email at info@actis.org and we'd be happy to help. As always, you can find all the information for everything I've talked about in today's show notes. And with that, I really think I have talked enough for one episode. So I'm going to give you this reminder. before we close out that we are offering 0.5 ACTIS CEUs, and you can use those to recertify your CCDS or CCDSO credential, but you must listen in the first 4 days from the time of publication. To claim that 0.5 CEU, go to the show page on ACTIS.org by clicking on the ACTIS podcast link under the free resources tab, and then click on today's episode from the list on that page. Scroll down to the recording of the episode and click play. You have to listen to the whole video and really wait till the timer gets to zero, and that is when the CEU evaluation link will appear. You click on that, take the survey, and your certificate will be automatically emailed to you. We do recommend that to stop the certificate getting trapped in your organization's spam filters, we suggest you use a personal email address when completing that CEU evaluation. And the cutoff for today's episode is Sunday, August 3rd at 11 p.m. Eastern. After that point, the CEU period does close and you cannot get CEUs for this episode. But never fear, because we always have another episode coming right around the corner. So we will be back in 2 weeks on Wednesday, August 13th, with an episode discussing tools for provider and CDI engagement, which is hosted by Carla Kozak, who is our manager of events and products. As I was talking about earlier, if you want to receive reminders about each episode, then sign up for our free weekly e-newsletter, CDI Strategies. It always features a link to the new episode when it's available. As a reminder, you can listen to the ACTIS podcast anytime on the ACTIS website, or you can find it via your favorite podcast app, whether it's Apple, Spotify, or whatever it may be. And we will put all the links we discussed in today's episode in the show notes. As always, we would very much appreciate it if you take a minute to leave us a 5-star review on your podcast app, which will help others find our show. Our intro and outro music, Media Noche, by D. Yankee, and our ad music, Take Me Higher by Jazzar, both obtained from the free music archive. If you have suggestions for future guests or topics, we'd love to hear them. Just email us at info@actis.org. And with that, I will wrap up and say thank you for joining me. I appreciate your time. And until next time, take care.